Good morning again. Nate just let me know that this past Saturday, yesterday, was the first day of Japanese school. And Nate and Chelsea, they have their kids going to J school. If you have any kids that are interested in J school, let us know and we can connect you with them. But, you know, Todd was a big, the Inamis in general, their family is just a big supporter of the Japanese school, and he was helping as a TA. He does a lot of things just for them. And I guess yesterday, Hitomi, which is one of the owners, president of the school, they had a time of prayer for him. And so, you know, hopefully, in some ways, as the Japanese, you know, Christian church in Tucson, we could continue to connect with the Japanese school in Tucson and just, see a lot more just kingdom work, I guess, in that. So let's just keep them in our prayers as well. Speaking of prayer, today's message is on prayer. And I pray this will stay. Stay. All right, it worked. It worked. Righteous man prayers avail much. It worked. You got to start small when you pray. With just a lot of things happening in our church, Kenji passing away was just, that news to me personally was devastating. He was, I wasn't really close to Kenji. Just, I'd known him maybe, 5 years or something, 4 years, something like that. But, I got the news that he was in hospice on Friday, and you know, when I hear someone's on hospice, although people are placed on hospice to pass away, like in my mind I thought, oh, we have a couple more weeks left or something of that nature, and you know, he just passed away that day, that night, and that just was devastating. And then that happened on Friday, and then on Monday, you know, I get a call from Flagstaff ICU, you know, Todd's been in a horrific accident, and I'm just, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what is going on? And, you know, we can never overlook prayer. And so I thought, you know, this is a perfect time to talk about prayer and just the basics of prayer. So this is the message, it's Prayer 101, the basic of prayer from Matthew chapter 9. Chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And in context, Jesus is giving a lot of just instructions on what it means to give, how to give, what it means to, just a lot of religious kind of duties, if you will. And this section, he begins to talk on prayer. And before he talks about what to say, he mentions how not to pray. I won't go over that. If you have time on your own, go ahead. I encourage you to read it. It's just a couple of verses. But this is the famous prayer, the Lord's Prayer, you know, it's called. Although it's probably more the disciples' prayer. This is something he taught the disciples to pray. And he starts like this. Pray like this. Pray them like this. Let me ask, how many of you actually pray this prayer? Like, you actually say the words and our Father in heaven kind of thing. You guys do that? Some of you? Yeah, a lot of you. Actually, a lot of you do that. Like half of you do that. That's great. I personally do it myself. But I do it, you know, I don't go through it all the way. I pray one section, and then that section of the prayer, I try to like expand on it. And for those of you who don't pray this prayer, you know, Jesus is saying, no, just kidding. You know, this is Jesus is telling you should pray like this. No, but for those of you who don't actually say these words, Jesus doesn't necessarily say you should say these words when you pray. So, he's giving more of a motto when he says, pray then like this, not pray this. You know, pray like this. And so for those of you who don't actually say those words, you're off the hook today. But, you know, I hope you have a better motto. I hope you have some better words. No, just kidding. But when it comes to prayer, one thing we have to and we should remember is that it's more than just repeating a lot of words. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with learning like different types of prayer. I don't know if you've grown up in maybe a Lutheran church or a Catholic church or a church with a lot more, liturgy. You probably learn like St. Patrick's Prayer. How many of you know like St. Patrick's Prayer and these other prayers? No? Okay, good. Oh, yeah. Okay, some of you do. Yeah, there people sell books on prayer. Like, hey, if you guys want to pray over these things, here's a book. Say these words and you'll be free or you'll be rich or you won't have any curses kind of thing. And again, I don't know if there's anything wrong with learning prayers and different types of these Christian prayers, words to actually say. And as I scan this group and I ask, do you guys know any of these? You guys don't. So, maybe I don't have to say this. It goes without saying, I guess. But, prayer is a relational thing. It's a conversation thing. It's prayer gets easier when you stop focusing on praying and just focusing on the Father, focusing on God. And that you're just talking with God. You're having a conversation with God. And so, sometimes when we memorize prayers, it can be like a relationship that just you're monologuing like famous lines from movies, Imagine having a boyfriend or girlfriend that does that. It's like, you had me at hello. And just, just movies, books, songs, and all they did was that, and it's like no original words came out of their mouth. You're like, what's wrong with you? It's like, what do you really think, I don't know if God thinks that way, but certainly I think when it comes to prayer, it goes beyond just saying words, goes beyond just a scripted thing, and I don't think it's wrong to do that, and I don't think it's wrong to like have that as part of your prayer life. Certainly it would be great if if your romantic other did like sing you a song, it's like, oh, that's awesome, but if that's all they did, it's like, what's going on? So anyways, the Lord's Prayer in my mind is breaking up into two major sections. There's a vertical section and a horizontal section, and the vertical section ends around verse 10. And so today we're going to look at the vertical section, the one that addresses God, the prayer that goes up first. And then next week or next time, we'll look at the prayer that goes horizontally, that deals with us personally and those around us. The prayer starts off with "Our Father in heaven." Now, we may not appreciate this one phrase, but because it's become so common to know God as Father. But when Jesus first said these words, they were groundbreaking words. Nobody in the Old Testament referred to God personally as Father. As a nation, they referred to God as Father a handful of times. The nation of Israel said, God is the Father of our nation. But no one person said, God is my Father. In fact, I was listening to the speaker, Tim Keller, and he mentioned that there was a scholar, a German scholar, I don't know if he was a secular scholar or a religious scholar, but this German scholar looked into all the religions of the world, and prior to Jesus making these statements, no other religion would refer to God as Father. And so this was not just groundbreaking in Israel, it was groundbreaking around the world. No one referred to God as Father. And actually, Father is pretty formal, right? Does anyone call their dad Father? I guess it's more common in Japanese to call your dad Father, right? Oto-san or something. I noticed that because I'm Japanese, I speak Japanese, and I was in Japan, and I was talking to, I was trying to get my mom's attention, and I was saying, Mama, 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 and I'm like 26, and I'm calling my mom, Mama, Mama. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Because, all the other older kids are saying Oka-san or Oto-san, and I'm saying Papa and Mama, like I'm a little kid still. I'm sure my mom loved it, but anyways. But here, when God, you know, Jesus says, start off this way, our Father, he's actually not the formal dear Father. It's actually more a colloquial, it's not even a word, it's more of a sound. It's like Baba, Baba, Papa, Papa. And Jesus says, when you start praying, start it this way, Papa, or Baba. I think in the Aramaic, it's more like a Baba, but it's like Papa. Dada. Isn't that amazing? Like, this is Jesus is saying, I'm going to teach you how to pray. And they're looking for, you know, some words that are just going to blow their mind, and then it starts off with a noise, Papa. It's like, oh, what? Are you sure we're supposed to start that way? But that's the relationship that Jesus is bringing to the people and that Jesus brought to us. It's a closeness to God. It's a closeness to God. Closer than anything, any other relationship, you know? Because your kids, if you have kids, they could get away with a lot of stuff, right? They could come into your busy day at any time of the day and say, Papa, Papa, Papa. And it's like you stop things, you know? And if your wife did something like that, it'll be like, come on, what are you doing? You know, it's like, I'm busy. It's like, do it yourself. But, God with, as much as we love our wives, you know, and same thing. If I can't just go, you know, to my wife and say, hey, even though I probably do, it's like, can you make me a sandwich? You know, when she's busy, when she's working, hey, can you come home and make me a sandwich? It's like, what are you doing? But if your kid is like, hey, I'm hungry. It's like, oh, okay, you know, let me go make a sandwich. And so this is the type of relationship that God wants us to start off with. Prayer. Prayer starts off simply with Papa, Papa. And the relationship dynamic of a child and a father. Isn't that great? We could go to God and say, Papa, Papa. Hey. And, you know, your kids are probably going to ask for inappropriate things all the time, right? Hey, Papa, can I have a motorcycle, or can I have a knife, or can I have like this and that? And it's not like you like give everything, but you say, no, no, you're not old enough, or no, no, this is not safe, or no, no, and stuff like that. And so, you know, as a kid, as a child, they don't have that filter. They just ask. And that's the beginning part of prayer. You don't need a filter. Just ask. Because the best way to learn is God will answer back, and he'll say one of three things. He'll probably say no, he'll probably say yes, and he'll probably say later. Or sometimes maybe. No, I don't know. Maybe he'll say four things. Maybe. And it is a relationship. And you can ask why no. Like, I'm sure if you have kids, if you say no, they'll probably ask why, right? Yeah? It's like, when the men's group, we went to the Hawaiian barbecue, and Nate shared the story, if it's okay to share, but I guess the boys were asking, hey, how come we're not at the Hawaiian barbecue? You know, they're like, they're really young, and Chelsea had to say, well, it's a men's group, and they're like, we're men. It's kind of true, but it's not true. They're like, well, you know. And Chelsea had explained no, it's like, and go on. But, it was probably a very sweet interaction, you know? And so, as children of God, we can go to God and say, hey, can I do this? And he'll probably say yes, no, maybe. And you could ask him, why, you know? And without a filter. So, pray as you can, not as you can't. Just begin to talk to the Lord. Hey, can I have that Mercedes Benz? No. Maybe. Later. You know? It's okay. Like, you know, people are saying, oh, how can you pray that prayer? That's so, you know, that's so selfish of you. It's like, yeah. You're going to start off selfish. You just are. You are, you know? Let me, like, let me separate myself from you guys. No, but we're just selfish people, right? We're probably, most likely, the more we talk to God, the more selfish we're going to sound. And it's okay, because God can work with that. God can't work with someone that won't pray, or, you know, that won't interact with him. So just begin to speak to him. See him as your father. Interact with him. But before we get too far, we always have to remember the next line, hallowed be your name. We don't want to get too carried away, too casual with God. We have to remember God is holy, though. In all of this, he is still holy, and it's good to have a healthy fear of God. A healthy fear of God. Not like fear that he's going to smite me, or fear that he's going to throw me into jail, or he's going to do something bad to, like, punish me kind of thing, but a fear of that relationship with God, the fear of who he is as well. You know, hallowed be your name. This, you know, I'm not 100% sure what it all means, hallowed be your name. Some of the other translations, if you look at the Bible, says, may your name be kept holy. Or your name be honored as holy. Or help us to honor your name. Now, how does God's name become unholy? Like, why would he ask us to pray that? How does that happen? Like, why? It's a good reminder, but I don't think that's all there is to having that line there. Hallowed be thy name. And certainly, I guess, using his name in an irreverent way can make it unholy. But in the Old Testament, it seemed like God's name was defiled, if you will, when his people would fall into sin. And when his people would fall into sin, God had to, in some ways, punish them, correct them, rebuke them. And when he did that, it often took the form of other nations coming and winning. And when that happened, people will start wondering, oh, our God is better than your God. Your God isn't too strong, or your God's arms are too short, or your God is too weak, or your God is like our God, or, you know, in that way, God's name, his holiness was too, not, you know, his holiness stayed the same. But in the eyes of other people, I guess his holiness began to depreciate. And so when we say, hallowed be thy name, hallowed be your name, it also is a reminder for us of who he is. But I think in our lifestyle, to say that he is a holy God. And of course, holy is more than just honor. Holy in the Old Testament was, you know, God is so set apart. He is so special. He is completely and utterly different than anything we could imagine, or we've seen, or we could think of. He is more than anything we know. He is completely otherworldly. Hallowed be your name. God is greater than we could ever imagine, think. It goes on to say, your kingdom come. Let me just stop there. Your kingdom come. And as long as we're praying this and are commanded to pray, your kingdom come, we are acknowledging that God's kingdom is not completely here, right? Even Jesus, when he was walking the earth, he prayed, your kingdom come. And he's saying to his disciples, pray your kingdom comes. So his kingdom is there in some capacity, but it is not fully there. And Jesus continues to talk about this kingdom, this kingdom that is present but not yet, his kingdom that's like a seed that's going to grow, that's small, that's invisible, that you can't see, but one day it will be fully here, fully matured. And so as we pray, one of the things we ought to remember and ought to pray for is that his kingdom his kingdom will come. And certainly when Jesus said, your kingdom come, this was a political statement. It's more than that, but it certainly was a political statement. Today, we don't use kingdom politically. We don't use that in political rhetoric. But back then, that's the overtone. It was about politics. And so, you know, I guess elections are coming up or something, because I've been seeing some debates, right? The Democratic debates, you guys watch that? There's some Asian guy there. I was like, oh, it's a Chinese guy. What the heck? But there's, you know, there's a big panel of people. They're doing all, you know, the debating. And, you know, of course, when it comes to it, the Democrats are going to say, hey, you know, vote for us. We're going to make the world, America better. And the Republicans are going to say the same thing. Vote for me and we're going to make America great. You know, all this other thing. And as Christians, sometimes we buy into it. But as Christians, we have to realize, as long as we're in charge, there's always going to be something wrong. There's no one savior, political figure that can make things the way God can when he says, your kingdom come. And Jesus' kingdom, and I believe one of the reasons why is because this kingdom measures and value things by the things of this world. It's measured by, you know, how attractive, how powerful, how rich, how famous, how popular. You know, we measure things by this stick of attraction or power or whatever. Jesus' kingdom, whenever I pray this prayer, when I say, Jesus, your kingdom come, what comes to mind is his kingdom values, where his kingdom consists of righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the measure of how good something is. It's how much peace, how much joy, how much righteousness, how much love is this person, institution, whatever, how much is it emanating? How much does it give? How much is it the nature of that? That should be, and I believe that's how Jesus measures success. That's how he measures things. When we say your kingdom come, we're asking for his peace to come, his righteousness to come, his joy to come, his love to come. Amen. May your kingdom come. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The original design of humanity was that we would be extensions of God here on earth. So when God created Adam and Eve, he made them image bearers and stewards of earth. And so wherever Adam and Eve was, they were supposed to fill the earth with what... with the authority of God himself. He made man and woman in the image of God. He created them. And image just simply doesn't mean physically we look like God, but it was supposed to mean that when anything saw humanity, they would see God. And vice versa. When they saw God, they would see humanity. We've gone far from that. We strayed far from that. But here, Jesus is reestablishing that old, ancient calling in our lives. Calling in your lives. And as we enter into the kingdom that we were just talking about, Jesus says this interesting thing. You need to be born again, right? If you want to be a part of this kingdom, you need to be born again. When Jesus, he talks about prayer, he says, you need to start off with Papa, Daddy. And that relationship with God is the beginning point, and it will never end. God will always be our Papa. However, I do believe that even though we start there, we're not supposed to remain there. You know, like me at 26 when I was saying, mama, mama, papa, papa. Like, and I caught myself. I'm like, Yeah, that's kind of weird. I'm going to try to call my mom like Okasan and stuff. It was just so ingrained in me. I can't, but certainly I don't like relate with my mom like I would when I was like 6, though, you know? I don't know, you gotta ask her, maybe I did. Because I still was like, hey, mom, I'm hungry. Hey, mom, like, hey, do this, pick me up when I was in Japan. But, you know, it's for your child to remain that state even at 26, there's something wrong. I believe as Christians, we are to grow as well. We're to grow, we're to pray these things. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, daddy, daddy. But we're also called to be sons of God. And when the Bible talks about being sons of God, it's not just saying you are a male, you know. You're because daughters are also called sons of God, because this is more of a legal statement. Sons of God were those in the family that adopt. You know, even if you're born into, I believe they used adopted sons of God, is this idea that there's a maturity in this son now. And isn't it amazing that the Bible even calls women sons of God? There's this idea of equality there that the Bible is talking about. That men and male and female are called sons of God here. But we're also called brides of Christ. I just want to mention that. But as sons of God, there is this authority now given to that person where they can interact and do all the legal transaction as the father. And Jesus was the ultimate example of a son, the son of God. Where he walked around and did all the legal transaction of his father. And we see that in his life. He actually gets in trouble for that. When he calls God Father in front of some of the religious leaders, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and some of these people, they would say, what are you saying? Are you equal with God calling him your father? What are you doing? Only God can forgive sins. Why are you saying your sins are forgiven? Only God can open the eyes of the blind. Only God can do certain things. And Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, was doing those things. And here Jesus is saying, when you pray, pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I believe he's alluding to, and not just, you know, what is that? Just giving away like your responsibility of what we need to do here. But I think he's alluding to that one day you're going to mature and begin to do these things. What is happening in heaven, I want you to be the agent that does this on earth. Which also, of course, includes practical things like feeding the homeless, speaking up for those who can't speak up for themselves, taking care of the fatherless. All those things are in heaven as on earth. But I do also think it includes all, some of these miraculous things. Things that will only happen through prayer, right? Feeding the homeless, you don't need to pray for that in a lot of ways. We have enough to feed the homeless. We've been given enough resources to do some of these things. But see, other things where we need to pray for, I do think as the church begins to mature, they will see more of these things happening. The supernatural, paranormal things. And at some point, as we mature, the constant use, I believe in Hebrews it says, that we would discern good from evil. We would discern God's will. And as we discern God's will, I believe one of the things that will happen as we establish this vertical relationship with the Father, with Papa, with Daddy, is that we would once again, as people of God, represent God here on earth. Make him known here on earth. Make this revealed to this world that heaven is a real place. And it's being revealed through practical means and through supernatural means. That there is a world where resources are inexhaustible. There is a world where not just my physical needs are met, but my spiritual needs are met. There is a world where there is healing, both physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every dimension of our lives, that the will of God can be done. And this is only through prayer. This is only through relationship with God. So as we learn to pray, start off just recognizing God as our dad. And as our dad, interact with him. Don't focus on the prayer, focus on the Father. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for all that you have provided, that all that you have done. I ask, Lord, that you would fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. Fill us, Lord, with the things of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. I pray that you would increase love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, righteousness, self-control. For those of us here today who are suffering, Lord, spiritually, suffering emotionally, suffering even physically, I pray right now, Lord, for your touch. Papa, we just ask, would you fill us? Would you heal us? We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like prayer, I'd love to pray for you after service. But if we could all stand for the closing song.